So there's a battle that goes on in negotiating these leases about what's in and what's out. And there's a lot of ways you can approach that. You know, you want a list of exclusions. You want your list to be as broad as possible. You want to monitor that list to make sure the landlord actually doesn't include things in the OPEX that it's not supposed to. And then sometimes, particularly if you pull out things like electricity and that type of thing, sometimes if you're a big enough tenant, you can get a cap on what they call controllable operating expenses, which the landlord thinks is nothing and the tenant thinks is everything. There's more in the paper, but we have more to cover, so we're going to move on. Another element in the economic deal on these leases is a tenant finish allowance, and I'm going to very briefly deal with this, and then we'll move on. When I mentioned before, and we talked about you want to compare apples to apples, what you want to do is get to your net economic rent on these options that you're looking at for your office space. And one of the things that affects that is a tenant finish allowance, which is an amount of money the landlord is going to let you use to build out your space. Obviously, a stated rate that's equal, that has a bigger TI, would be a better deal, generally speaking, for the tenant, because, again, that TI is going to be amortized into that rent number. And so, again, if you get a bigger TI on equal rent dollars, generally speaking, that's a better deal. The thing you need to look at real quickly on tenant finish, one is you don't want to pay the landlord. You don't want, much like OPEX should not be a profit center for landlords, neither should you building out your space. So beware of construction management charges, supervisory charges that the landlord wants to take out of that tenant improvement allowance. Also, be careful to make sure that you can use that allowance for what you want to use it for. I had a deal in my office recently where we had to wrangle a little bit to put some AV equipment in our conference rooms, because back in the day, people think of AV equipment as being personal property and sort of an amenity, not a necessity. But in this day of video calls every day, we felt differently. And had I done a better job with the lease that I deal in that office, we wouldn't have had to wrangle so hard. The one thing landlords tend to forget, and I tend to forget this too when I'm representing landlords, so you can call me on it one day, is that tenant finish allowance, it's not being given to you for free. That number is amortized into that rent with an interest rate. And so my position is that if I'm a big tenant and I'm paying you a lot of money and I'm a good credit and I've got a tenant finish allowance that I'm paying for basically as a loan that is absorbed into the rental stream, I need to be able to use that tenant improvement allowance for just about anything I want. You're not going to get complete carte blanche, but you need to think about it.
Yeah, the landlord's position on that is, I'm doing this, but I want it to be invested in things that will inure to my benefit at the end of the lease. Moving costs don't, architectural doesn't, but you typically are able to get moving in architectural.
You can, and you can get, and also you can get, I will always try very hard, and you should try very hard, to have the right to apply some of that to your rental. If you don't use it all, you should be able to apply some of that. I think you should be able to apply all of that. I mean, honestly, my position when I'm the tenant is to Phil's, you know, what he said the landlords do say about the tenant finish allowance. I'm like, look, man, if you want to improve your building, go for it.
I haven't had a tenant have improvements that didn't run over the allowance in a long, long time.
So you got to be careful. Okay, we're going to move along here. Another thing you need to do, and you're going to hear more about this, I think, the next presentation, so we'll hit it lightly, is you need to plan for the future, meaning you don't want to move in, you know, spend 5, 7, 10 years, and then not be able to stay in a place that you're dug into, where your employees, your customers know where you are. So you need to have renewal rights. I'll say one thing about that. Beware the agreement to agree. Probably the greatest expectation assassin in leases is you get to the back of the exhibit where you have the renewal right, and it turns out it's not really a renewal right. It's just a right to ask the landlord what it wants to charge you for the space and say yes or no. So you need to be sure that if you have a renewal right, it needs to be something you can unilaterally exercise, okay? And you can have a path that you can control that will get you to a number that you can lease the space for during your renewal. Nothing along the lines that you see all the time where it says, you know, tenant may renew this lease for a term of 5 years, at which point the landlord and tenant shall reasonably agree on the rate. That means nothing, okay? And you see that all the time, or you see something that just doctored up, but that's what it says. And so you need to be sure that you have a unilateral right that you can rely on to ensure your flexibility. Same thing with pref rights. You know, it's very hard to get landlords to give you options, pure options to lease, because it requires a landlord to hold the space off the market, which they are not going to do. Maybe if you're a huge tenant, you might get 6 months. They might hold the rest of one of your floors off the market for a little bit of time to let you have a right to lease it. That's an economic part of that deal. But unless you're a very big tenant where the landlord wants you badly, you're going to end up having what they call pref rights, which would be a right of first opportunity or a right of first refusal. Again, you want to make sure that those provisions are as objective as they can be, as opposed to something that's tossed back on an exhibit that looks like it gives you something but really doesn't.
On the renewal right, just practice, what I've seen the last several years is baseball arbitration. The landlord picks a number, the tenant picks a number, and they agree on a third party, typically a broker with experience and unaffiliated, and he says either landlord or tenant is right. One thing, if you're drafting one of these provisions, stop and count the notice periods you have created. You can create a 180-day period to get done very easily. So something to keep be aware of.